Hello, welcome to How Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltore, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. In this past year, we have been exploring the Ifijolwa, the King's Daughters, and trying to really get to know them, each and every one of them, by giving them their due in individual biographies. So I hope you join me now as we explore number 94. Regular viewers of the channel know that I produce a video called the Ifijolwa, the Program 2.0. Have a look at that, and it will give you a sense of what your ancestor would have gone through and what was required of her in the program. It's there in the playlist. Her name is Jeanne Longhi, and she's actually the great-grandmother of my best friend's daughter. And it is a remarkable story, and there is something interesting about this particular lady that I wanted to share with you, and so I kind of moved her to the front of the line so we can explore her life together. Jeanne would have been born in 1647 in a region called Athens-sur-Indre in France, which is a commune. Like I told you, it's like a township. It's in the county of Indre-et-Loire and in the region of Centre-Val-de-Loire, so it gives you some idea. And you can see by the map there how it's quite a ways from Paris, certainly for a woman in her time. Now, the Église Saint-Maurice is where she would have been baptized, and much of her family would have been from this area. Her father's name was Michel Longhi, and her mother's name was Etienette Touchrenne. And the picture in the middle is kind of just the bridge that kind of surrounds the area overlooks a very peaceful village. It's about 2,500 people that live there currently. What prompted her to come to Canada or New France? So at about the age of 24, Jeanne decided she was going to take her chances in New France. And she just became a Ifijolwa, or embarked upon that program. She went on the ship Le Prince Maurice that landed in Quebec City on August 15, 1671. She was carrying with her a dowry worth about 300 pounds. So let's have a look at who she selects and who selects her. His name was François Allard, and he was born in 1637 in a place called Blacqueville, I hope I'm saying it, just outside of Romain. And his parents were Jacques Allard and Jacqueline Frérot. And this is the church where he would have been baptized. I pointed a little red dot as to where Blacqueville, and this is the sign outside of it currently, and an aerial view of the town as it exists today. So how did François arrive in New France? François arrived in New France under an apprenticeship. He was an engagé, where he would work for 3 years as a servant. He was fortunate enough to secure a position with the widow Fadoul, with whom he would do the entire apprenticeship. By 1670, he was a free man and had begun to build his house and prepare for a wife. And he would find her within the year in 1671. So this is the census of 1667. We see Anne Ardouin, the veuve, the widow of Jacques Fadoul. And François Allard is 25, and she possesses 30 arpents of Allard, which is about 25 acres, 22 to 25 acres, I believe. Finally, Jeanne and François meet and marry, and she had just gotten off the boat in August 15, so September, October, so 2 months, and they had the bands were read and all of that, so it was around the period of October, probably, that they would have met. November 1st, 1671, they were married in Quebec City. They would settle in a town called Charlebourg, which is now a borough of Quebec City, but at the time was a very, very old part of Quebec. The origins of it begin in 1626, I think, with the Seigneurie of Notre-Dame-des-Anges, which was given to the Jesuits. It extended from the Charles River and encompassed the modern boroughs of Limoilou and Charlebourg. And in 1665, the new intendant, Jean Talon, set out to establish three new villages further north on the plateau. That caused friction with the Jesuits, who were, of course, still the seigneurs of the area. The first of the villages consisted of a 25-alfoise square. So they did a square with the, instead of the usual linear land grants that were given, and it was le Trécoré. So there was a 5-alfoise square, okay, the Trécoré, that was reserved for the church. And then all the houses were kind of like in a star-shaped pattern. And you can kind of see it on the aerial view here on the left. We have Le Bourg Royal, we have Le Petit Orvin, and Charlebourg. And Charlebourg is first and foremost an agricultural area, in addition to becoming a vacation destination for inhabitants of Quebec City in that first half of the 20th century. And so eventually in 1976, the municipalities of several municipalities were merged into the city of Charlebourg. And then in 2004, Charlebourg itself was merged with Quebec City. And now it is a suburb. So this is the church that they would have had at that time, or not looking like that. This is actually on the right here is what the church looked like. This is what the church looks like now. You can see where Charlebourg is in relationship to Quebec City. And this is the 1681 census where we list François Allard, Jeanne Langue, and he is 44, she's 34, there was a 10-year gap. André is 9, Jean is 7, Jean-Baptiste is 6, François is 3. So they already have 4 boys. They have 2 bêtes de corne, and they have 13 enfants valants, which is quite a lot, actually. So they have 13 enfants, which is about 10 acres of land, and 2 goats. So let's have a look at the family they created. So André married Anne Lamarche and had 8 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Jean-François married Marie-Louise Tardif and had 4 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Catherine Geneviève Dauphé became his second wife. They had 10 children, 8 of whom made it to adulthood. Jean-Baptiste married Anne-Elisabeth Peugeot and had 10 children, 7 of whom made it to adulthood. Marie would die at 6. Georges married Catherine Bédard and had 4 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marie-Renée married Charles Villeneuve and had 7 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marianne married Pierre Boutelet and had 1 child who made it to adulthood. She then married Jean-Charles Renaud and had 2 more children. All her children made it to adulthood. Thomas married Marie-Charlotte Bédard and had 12 children, but unfortunately only 5 survived to adulthood. Jeanne would pass away March 12, 1711 of measles. There was an epidemic in the village at that time, and unfortunately she had not had it as a child and died of it. At her death, she was a mere 64 years of age, and I suspect she would have lived a much longer life, being a very strong person. She is buried in the Cimetière Saint-Jean-Borromée. François would pass away at the incredible age of 89, and on October 25th, 1726. And I also want to point out that when she died, they were 6 months shy about of celebrating their 39 years, almost 40 years, she made it to November 1st. So that's just an incredible testimony to their love and their incredible commitment to each other. I could not wait to share this information with you, because The Allards is a series that has been written by a man named Wilmot Cress, I think is his last name. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it. There are 8 volumes. I have read volumes 1 and 2. I'm on volume 3, just starting it. Volume 1 is all about La Fille du Roi. Volume 2 continues her story, but then it branches off. And this particular branch of the Allards, it goes all the way to Michigan and beyond. So I'm just amazed by it. It is rich in historical accuracy and research, and yet the tapestry and how he weaves a story is just phenomenal. And I'm not a big fiction reader, so I have to tell you, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed this book. I put the link to the Amazon so you can have a look. I am reading it now through my Kindle Unlimited subscription, but I will be probably purchasing all of these in actual. I just think they're amazing. It's an amazing work that he has done. And I think he's a very prolific author. I'm still getting to know a lot of his work. So with that being said, book one, The Alals. If you read no other book in the series, read that one. It will definitely make Jeanne and François come to life for you, as in a way that I suspect you'll be surprised. So recommend it with the greatest enthusiasm. As always, I recommend for further research, La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan. I also recommend Filles du Roi Descendants, the Facebook page, and the website Migration. I have posted the links on the bottom here for you all. Just amazing resources. You can dig deep and find out more information about your particular Filles du Roi. And so ends episode 94. I want to thank Jeanne for her amazing contribution and her amazing, building of a life in Charlebourg and with her amazing husband, François Allard. And they would, in 1729, have 94 descendants. So that was a testimony to their family link. And I have rarely in my life, whenever I would go to school, I always had an Allard. There was always an Allard person. It's a very prolific family and a very common name. I wouldn't even use the word common. I would say it's a very popular name. And really, I think that this family and their links and their strength is derived from their ability to kind of just build and to focus. And I get that sense of Jeanne and François having built this incredible dynasty. So with that being said, I will see you on episode number 95. I will say adieu and au revoir until we meet again on episode number 95.